You're listening to The Record on KOW. Let's talk now about the other stuff Donald Trump has said. I'm sure you've heard the recording of Trump bragging about groping women, but it's not just Trump on that recording. You hear Trump being encouraged by TV host Billy Bush.
You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab him by the
I can do anything.
Legs. All I can see is the legs.
No, it looks good.
Trump's wife, Melania, said in an interview yesterday that the problem wasn't what her husband said, but the way Billy Bush, quote, egged him on. So how could Bush have handled that differently? And what can the rest of us learn? Western Washington psychology professor Alex Zopp has studied this, and he says there are strategies you can use to push back against people saying something offensive.
Depending on the person and how well you know them, something slight like changing the subject and hopefully relying on that person's emotional intelligence to read this as a cue of disapproval. And you realize hopefully that, wow, the conversation suddenly shifted after I made this comment. Maybe that wasn't okay. Some people
are bad. So you're
kind
of giving them an out that they don't have to deal with what was just said, and yet you're also sending a message.
At least not in the moment. You're right. So maybe it gives them an out, and you can approach them privately about this. Hey, you know when we were out there before and you made this comment, I thought that was really just not in good taste. And so it saves them a little that public face, and you can address it privately if you wish. So that's one possible way. Sometimes that's not what we want to do, and sometimes we want to make it more public and address that person to make it clear, again, more publicly to others in the room and in the area that this isn't okay. And that's just one of the more subtle ways. Certainly you could find ways that may be effective that can appeal to the person's ego, allow them to feel valued in some other way by affirming them and saying something like, wow, you're normally such a really intelligent and well-informed person, so I'm really surprised to hear you say this. You're complimenting on the one hand, and it's not really a backhanded compliment because you mean this, but at the same time, it sort of plays on that and say, well, why would you say something like this given how much I think of you already?
That's interesting. So can that give them more leeway to change their behavior instead of resisting you?
That's the idea behind that approach, is that by sort of greasing the wheels a little bit, you're making them not so reactive to the negativity involved. Because these are going to be uncomfortable situations no matter what. So if you can sort of reduce some of that awkwardness, that might be helpful. And again, it really depends on the person. Sometimes, not just the person we're confronting, but as the one making the confrontation, we don't want to be calm. We don't want to be subtle. We feel really angry, and we feel that type of emotional expression is valid. So we might confront in a more emotional way. And even still, there's other ways you can play off of your feelings. So you can invoke feelings of perhaps hypocrisy in the person by using their own words against them. So I'm really surprised to hear you say that because I know nobody respects women more than you, for example. Sort of hearing that and saying, well, geez, how can I reconcile this feeling of hypocrisy within myself now?
What's the goal here?
Yeah, so it's interesting. In these situations, the goal pretty much is going to have to rely on a change in behavior, like you mentioned. It's pretty unlikely we're going to have any long-term effects on changing a person's attitudes and certainly not their values. But if we can change their future behaviors, that's at least a step in the right direction. And those changes in their behaviors could happen for a number of reasons. It could be because they have these strong personal standards of, you know, this is wrong and I felt bad for doing this and I made a mistake. So people who even are really well-intentioned sometimes make comments, laugh at jokes, and then later realize, geez, I really shouldn't have done that. And they want to change because of their own personal interests. And so they'll change their behavior both publicly and privately in the future because of this confrontation, hopefully. Other people might not care so much about this in terms of their own personal standards, but are really aware that this isn't okay to say in public. So they might change their behavior, but only publicly and perhaps somewhat superficially, because they know that others will disapprove of this in the future. So there's likely to be some changes in behavior afterwards, and it might be, again, for more internal or external reasons, but either way, fewer racist and sexist statements out there is probably better.
You know, our society has gone along with and downplayed or even kept private a lot of unacceptable behavior. What's wrong with saying, hey, that's sexual assault or whatever the behavior is, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with being direct?
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. And certainly in the moment when you have these emotional reactions that you want to address, it's obviously this is how a person feels and that's a valid reaction. It's a kind of a cost and benefits analysis of what your goals are and what you're trying to do. So simply lashing out and expressing your own feelings and labeling this and saying, hey, that's really racist when you say that, certainly is a valid interpretation from your end, but keeping in mind that it's unlikely to have a direct effect on the other person. No one likes to be accused of racism. Even racists don't like that. So the idea that it's going to lead to any positive change is unlikely. So finding a way to kind of balance this and be true to your own feelings and not say the wrong thing in those situations, but at the same time, hopefully have a way of doing it that can influence the other person some way or another.
By the way, I may sound really sanctimonious even asking you these questions because I can a little piece of me relates to the Billy Bush, not in that situation, but I've been in places where I have gone along. I wonder why is it so hard to just sometimes stand up for what we believe?
There's basic norms of conversation and politeness that really discourage these types of things. So for the most part, even implying that someone might have said something that could be interpreted as racist or sexist tends to really be frowned upon. And I think that partly comes from a skewed interpretation of what it means to be racist or sexist, and that by calling someone's joke or their behavior as consistent with prejudice doesn't mean that someone is in fact a racist for having done a single behavior. So I think we have this reluctance to say anything because it's seen as impolite. There's also, the nature of the relationship with this person that we have. This could be an employer, this could be friends, these could be relatives, and we have those underlying relationships that we have to keep in mind. And sometimes we're okay with some of those if it's a relative we don't see very often, but if it's a close friend or an employee that we see all the time, we've got to consider those relationships. And sometimes we think about what long-term effects might this have on this person. And if we think, this isn't going to do anything, this person is just who they are, and no matter what I say, they're going to keep doing this. Sometimes we have this sort of self-defeating attitude going in there that thinks that I'm not going to be able to have an effect on someone. And this can be really unfortunate because the effects that we may have on someone are likely to be out of our sight. We won't see them happening because they'll be in the future when we're not around. So that sometimes holds us short when it shouldn't.
And I would hope in any cost-benefit analysis, we'd consider the cost that's being borne by the people who are being treated the way this person is describing, whoever's in the one down.
And there's a real interesting component of that. Our research has found that in many situations, it's members of groups that are not the ones targeted by the offense. So in the case of sexism, we can talk about men, or in the case of certain types of racism, we can talk about whites. That men and whites in those situations tend to be a little bit more persuasive in their confrontations because they're not seen as the ones who are overreacting. They're not seen as the typical complainers who say that everything is sexism or racism. So there's some really unique opportunities there that we can work on the behalf of those members of those groups.
That's interesting. Use that voice, fair or unfair, the voice that you might have with that fellow person in power.
That's right.
Interesting. And hey, let's not assume that we are always our best selves. What do we do when someone calls us out for something we've done or said?
That's a great point. I think we've been talking a lot about these situations from the perspective of who's been offended, the person who's been offended, and how they can confront someone else. But we should remember that there's probably been times when we've been, or certainly could have been, at the other end of someone else's confrontations because of the subtle nature of these implicit biases. And so when we're the ones that have been confronted, we can think about how, we probably initially rejected the confrontation and the person who made it. And we don't like to be accused of this type of bias, especially if in the past we've been confronting other people about bias. But probably when we step back and realize this, that upon reflection that, we were wrong and we shouldn't have done this. This gives us a really, I think, great opportunity to kind of come full circle and approach the person who confronted us and let them know this side of the story. Because as confronters, we don't know that side of the story. Now here's our opportunity to share it with the person. Tell them and say, at first I was really upset, but it really made me rethink a few things about myself and assumptions that I've had, and I'm glad it happened. And that person gets that feedback, and they feel better about what they've done, knowing that they've actually made a difference.
Both sides can really buck up here, can't they? The people who need to gather the courage to say something difficult, and the people who need to gather the courage to listen.
Absolutely. I think you can feel some strength in being the one who's confronting someone else about this. But as long as we're doing this, again, from a place of perhaps compassion and not just being this, like you said, really sanctimonious person who says, I'm holier than you and you're doing the wrong thing. But if it's really from a place of, look, this is how I feel about this issue and I value your relationship and I want to share this with you. And then from the other side of it, the person who's being confronted, don't necessarily feel like you've been accused of being the worst person in the world simply by someone saying, hey, that joke was a little off color. We can understand that we'd all make mistakes and we can learn from those, and that learning process is difficult. But if we swallow that pride a little bit and understand now this is going to make us better and we're closer as a result of this conversation.
Professor Alex Zopp teaches psychology at Western Washington University. How do you deal with this? How do you deal with offensive language? How do you handle yourself if you get accused of being offensive? Do you have a story? Because we'd like to know. We'd like you to share it when you write to us at record@kuow.org.